side was a cross, old dog tag, picture of when he was shipping out, so I showed it to him. So tell me about those days, when he looked inside, he closed his eyes, all he could say was, I hear bagpipes crying, amazing grace, oh my heart beats in a crashing waves, oh glory draped like heaven's mercy, over the fallen sun, I see all the heroes who were willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace would keep us safe.
You can find it right here on The Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need The Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, The Shooting Bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those within skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. It's another edition of the Shooting Bench, 23rd of September. We're a little late coming on. Not today. We're actually a day late. We didn't make it yesterday. We had some internet problems, severe internet problems, but we got it all resolved now. BB Burner, I have been trying real hard to cope with this today, so to speak, and you bringing it up did not help anything any. I don't know if some, a lot of you saw the news article where our pseudo-president stepped off of Marine One and saluted a United States Marine. Well, no, let me take that back. He did not salute. This was the most disrespectful, pathetic thing I have ever seen him do. Now, he's done a lot of stuff that was wrong, a lot of stuff that was illegal, a lot of stuff that that we don't approve of, didn't like. Yeah. But to be downright blatantly in his, the face of a United States Marine trying to do a unreasonable, sloppy rendition of a salute with a coffee cup in his hand. It's been a long time since I come that close to shooting a hole in my monitor. It's unbelievable. I was absolutely floored. It's bad enough that he salutes them, period. Being as anti-American and disrespectful to the entire country as he is every day of his life. But if he's going to do it, somebody should coach him on doing it right and the importance of it and knowing that that the entire world is watching. How do you think people in especially the administration, Putin's bunch in Russia, every country in the world. What do you think they think of us now? This whole thing that this idiot does reflects on all of us. We can say we hate him all we want to. It still reflects on the country as a whole. Because however illegal and backwards and flawed and corrupt that our election was, in theory, we still elected them, him. At least that's the way that the people will look at it across the world. It'll be a long time before I get over this. Matter of fact, I'm thinking I ought to make a sound, whatever you call it, a sound bite out of that. All right. Well, Pumpkin Cat, I saw your post up there earlier about your dad being a butcher, and never did age the meat or the deer or whatever. That's odd to me. I've never heard of anybody doing that. I mean, I guess if it worked for him, that's wonderful. I just never heard of it. Every butcher I've known, now the only ones that we didn't bother to hang, of course, you definitely don't want to drop them in the freezer before at least they've cooled down to the ambient temperature or whatever it is, or hang them in a cooler or something. But Pumpkin Cat. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. I mean, we hang them head down when we're gutting them and everything. But I've seen a few of them actually hanging head down that were hanging in the, you know, in a tree, cooling off, or in a cooler or whatever. The majority of them, I think, has been hung by the horns. But anyway, I've never heard that before. Maybe we've been doing it wrong all this time, but there's a distinct possibility there. But we used to have I may have told you this before, but at Grandma's house in Luna, we had a deer tree out behind. Now, the tree's gone now. We went up there here a while back, and the tree's not even there anymore, but it was a deer tree. And a couple of the close neighbors right there, every time one of them would get a deer, they'd go hang it out in the deer tree. And throughout the winter, anytime you needed a piece of meat, you needed to go out and get something for dinner or whatever, you just go out and cut it off the deer and bring it in and thaw it out. And never was any arguing or anything that I knew of over who was getting the hindquarters or the back straps or whatever. Usually whoever killed the deer would cut the back straps out of it and get the tenderloins out of it before they ever put it in the tree. So that wasn't an issue. But people just got along and shared, and everybody had an equal share in what was hanging out there. So anyway, hang on a second, is this breaking news? Nope, it's not. Okay, never mind. So, well, let's get on. Let me remind everyone that it's getting a little closer to the 18th of October. 18th and 19th of October, we'll be running a Glock Armorers class and an 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar coming up in Lincoln, California on those 2 days. And the Glock Armorers class is starting to fill. The disaster preparedness, we've got a couple, and it's not filling yet, but nevertheless, we're driving all the way to California, so the show must go on, no matter how many sign up for it. But the Glock class is coming right along, so if anybody wants to get in on that, if you're within reasonable driving distance, we'll give us a holler and we'll get you signed up. This class is the cheapest that we have ever done this class in the history of Southwest Shooting Authority and Shots Ranch. So if you ever wanted to do it, now would be a great time. And I'm kind of working backwards here. No, I'm not. I'm kind of working by memory. The 8th through the 11th of November, we'll be at a a survivalist rendezvous in Young, Arizona. It's going to be lots of instructors there, lots of different people teaching their particular specialized areas, and a lot of speakers. It's going to be a 4-day deal. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun in an awesome area. And then 4 days after that, the 15th of November, excuse me just a minute. All right, sorry about that. 15th of November, we'll be having another, you guys remember the private gun show we had in Pine Top here a couple of years ago? Went really, really well. Well, we're going to upgrade that by about 10 times and have one over in Prescott or Prescott Valley, Arizona. Lots and lots of gun people. I know that's going to be a big draw for a lot of people there. What else after that? Well, I can't think right off the top of my head, but anyway, that's I'll get the schedule out next time, let you all know what's going on. You can just go to, of course, we need to update it a little bit. There's some things missing on the schedule right now, but ShotsRanch.com, you go on there and look at the schedule. We've got several new classes. We're putting the traveling classes, the classes that we're doing off campus, so to speak, like the one in Lincoln, we're putting together the same combination of classes in San Juan County, New Mexico. Not sure exactly what the location will be yet, but we've got several people working on that. I'm pretty sure that one's going to be a go. Also, Stockton, Utah. Got another class going on up there, hopefully in December. And the next thing that's coming up, I mean, not the next thing, but a big thing that's coming up here in probably January will be a six-day close protection class. We have a former Blackwater operative here that will help us with that class. Really, really good, very experienced, there a long time. And that's all he did. This guy pulled security for several very high-ranking dignitaries of several different countries. And I'll be doing the firearm stuff for him and helping him with the rest of it. But he's real good. And I think that this class will be, it's not going to be a cheap class, 6 days worth. It's a what you would call a resident class. You're not allowed to leave campus. You got to stay on the ranch the whole time that it's happening, and the test at the end will be to take everybody in and let them protect their principal in town through a shopping trip out there and see how it goes. So that ought to be a lot of fun. Hang on, we got another deal here coming in just a minute. Okay, I can wait on that. All right, now we had a, looks like a couple of you having some sound problems here. Let's see. Well, it looks like 32 and 64 both are saying good, so hopefully everybody's able to listen there. Hang on just a minute. Let me get rid of this. There we go. I had a lengthy discussion today. Hey, there's Drum Jaw. Good to see you, buddy. Who else we got in here? Let me look in the chat room and see what's going on. Queso Concrete and Desert Rat, a Tinker, Doc, Drumjaw, Hopper, Mini, couple of Anonymous, Pumpkin Cat, Rights at Risk, BB Burner. All right. The good deal, Doc. I'm glad it made it there all right. Tell her hello. Tell her hello for me, would you? You betcha. All right. Had a lengthy discussion. A guy put a post up on a group that I belong to. And I usually don't spend a whole lot of time on there. It's not that it's not a good group. It's just often not things that are right up my alley. But this one kind of caught my eye today, and I got to looking at it. And the guy says, if you have any issues with wild dogs or even non-wild dogs bothering you or your property and have to call the sheriff, don't let them tell you like they attempted to tell me. And says that they told him the county does not have an animal control ordinance. He said, so what? If the county does not have an ordinance, there are still statutes related to it. Then he goes on to relate the different statutes that says who is responsible for those things if there is not an animal control officer. So went on down there, and it's legitimate stuff here. I mean, he's always got a lot of good points and quoting some statutes and ordinances and whatnot. But I took a little bit of exception today, and let's see, there was he said that's what the deputies say is just shoot the doll. I said, speaking of which, someone has a gray tomcat loose around here that's fixing to become worm food. And he said, that's what the deputies always say, is just shoot the dogs. He said, I'm not one to shoot an animal, so I don't want to go through this whole thing word for word. But and I said, well, he said, and they are failing to do their own duties to the public they are sworn to protect by telling anyone they are not responsible. Okay, now wait a minute. We have to, I got to get involved now. I said, unfortunately, law enforcement is not obligated to protect the public. That's our job. He said, except for that little oath that they took. And I proceeded to tell him that there's nothing in the oath that obligates him to do that. But there is something about obeying and following the laws of the state and the Arizona Constitution and all that. And so in the oath of office of Arizona, it does say that they'll support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the state of Arizona. Now, it doesn't say anything. It says they'll support them. It would be, you know, it's up for interpretation how that, you know, how one would interpret support. But the nevertheless, I told him that the Supreme Court said otherwise. You guys are all familiar with Castle Rock versus Gonzales, that where they determined that the Supreme Court determined that law enforcement actually does not have an obligation to protect you. And unfortunately, it's that's the way it is. And so. And I said, well, you know, anyone that wants the police to protect them all the time is in favor of a police state anyway. And I said, I'll protect myself and those that I'm responsible for when necessary. Another guy pops in here. This is when it really started getting interesting. He said, how do you figure you want a police state if you want the police to protect and aid you? Okay, well, I put a little short definition of a police state on there, one of the several places I looked. It said a state or country in which a repressive government maintains control through police. I said, how can you figure otherwise? When we expect or give them the power to quote-unquote protect us, we're the ones that pay. They're attacking and killing us for not obeying the laws that they've put in place to protect us. How does that work? Seatbelt laws, helmet laws, texting laws, too much sugar, tobacco, alcohol, can't smoke a relatively harmless weed, can't carry a gun in public, can't buy a gun even after you've served your time. I have to cross the street where and when they tell me to or I get fined. The status wet dream is to be given the authority to protect us from the hazards of everyday life, from inequality, from someone pointing their finger at us in a threatening manner or saying something that we disagree with. There are federal agencies that say I cannot run a saw without the guard attached. I get fined for not wearing safety glasses or a hard hat. There are fines for taping up nicks in an extension cord. I have to wear a safety belt if I'm more than a few feet off the ground, and on and on and on. Where does it end? Now I'm supposed to depend on the sheriff to keep a stray dog out of my yard? The government's job is to support our constitutional rights and protect us from foreign invasion. Period. So then it got kind of silly. He said, what about federal laws? All you talked about was a way to protect the individual. Well, actually, I did talk about federal laws. And the individual's rights protection is exactly what this whole discussion was about. He said they don't go around looking for most of the areas that you bring up. Only when they are called and something happens do they get involved. I told him, that's not the point. The point is that the laws exist and they hang over our head all the time. It doesn't matter. You know, that's the same thing as saying these people that say, well, in my little town, they don't mind if I wear a gun in the post office. I wear the gun when I go in the bar because everybody around here does and nobody cares. That's not the point. The point is the law still exists. If an officer that knew the law walked into that post office while you're there, you being a regular and being buddy-buddy with the postmistress around there does not change the fact that you're committing a federal felony. If your state law says that you cannot carry in a place that sells or serves alcohol by the drink, and a cop from another town or a state cop happens in there, or a young new cop right out of Academy comes in and sees the law is still there, and you're still breaking it, and you're still going to pay the price for it, whatever it may be. I don't care if they don't go around looking for it. The fact is, I have to worry about it all the time if I choose to do these things that the law tells me I'm not supposed to. He said the laws are not made by the police. They are made by the people who you elect for state and federal office. Okay, that doesn't make any difference there either. I kind of had a hard time deciphering what this was all about, but I said federal, local, county, city, state, I don't care. Any law that is put in place to protect me individually is both dangerous and not in accordance with the spirit of the Constitution. For the record, several of the laws I mentioned are federal laws. And certainly everything I talked about is a way to protect the individual. But that's what the whole discussion, the whole thread was about anyway. But I understand laws not made by the police. You need to understand that it doesn't matter who makes them. What matters is that they exist, and there are cops who will violate your rights to enforce them. Andy of Mayberry has been replaced by Sergeant Daniel Love. Remember Daniel Love, the militarized Rambo wannabe at Bundy Ranch? Remember the guy that stood out there and argued with Ammon Bundy on the video that was so popular there for a month or so? So, anyway, this went on for another few posts here, and I kind of had to go back and reiterate what I'd said a few times. Towards the end here, one of his, he says, if your car is stolen, who are you going to call? Why is that a point? I said, if my car is stolen, I'll call the police only because I'm required by the insurance company to file a police report, and that's the only reason. It has absolutely nothing to do with individual protection. Grand Theft Auto is not a crime against my individual safety unless I'm in the car when they go to steal it or my kids are. Then the name of the crime, the severity of it, and everything else changes. Some gal or guy or I'm not sure by the name, but come in there and said, all this over dogs? I said, no. All this over rights. There's a big difference. So what do y'all think? Was I off base, sir? I have a hard time with just letting stuff go sometimes. Probably I should. Probably I shouldn't get so involved all the time with things that, I don't know. I guess I just, right, wrong, or indifferent, I guess I feel sometimes that, I guess I feel like it's kind of my responsibility for, educating people in the if I didn't waste my time on Facebook, how would I be educating some of these people that need educating so bad? That's where a lot of them hang out, and that's a great venue for education. It's a great venue for advertising. It is not a great venue for telling everybody what you had for breakfast, how late is it, why don't somebody text me, and pictures of cats doing silly tricks. I think that's dumb, and that is a waste of time. But, of course, they don't want educated, and you're right about that. But if they're going to be around, if they're going to post out there in public where I can get to it and comment, they're going to get educated whether they like it or not. But if we put this stuff out there and 50 or 100 or 500 people see it, and it wakes one or two up. You know, a good case in point. And I'm gonna come back here. We're gonna talk about that exact very thing. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Okay, so you will you will appreciate that because it has to do with some stuff that goes on down in your part of the country. So give me a few minutes here, and we'll talk about that very thing.
And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on my...
There was once upon a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit by... bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her. And the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Like a nail. That's right. But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Now, the messing around on Facebook. Well, I think that there are very few places where you can reach as many people as quickly and be able to spread the word out there. So there was a, and I told you that, well, if you, as the old adage go, if you can change just one, then it's worth it. Well, I believe that. In some instances, I mean, and when we're talking about our rights and just making people understand, wake up and see what's going on in this country, if you can get them one at a time, you know, if I do it with as many people as I have access here to, maybe if all of you would, or all of you that are on, you know, it doesn't have to be Facebook, email list, your local, you know, the quilting bee, you know, whatever, wherever you're around a lot of people, any people, one people. You take somebody out for a Coke and a hamburger somewhere, and they're, you don't already know that they're on your side. Well, talk to them a little bit and see if you can, see if you can. Now, what I won't do is sit and argue with them. But when it, if they'll talk and be sensible and understanding, and they can say, well, you know, I don't agree. Okay, fine. Then, well, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I can tell you that for sure. As long as it stays civil and it's a debate and not an argument, then I will I'll continue on for a little while. But today there was down in your neck of the woods, there has been a big blowout down there at Camp Lone Star, and a lot of things going wrong. A lot of the things that happened, you know, it was good for a little while, and then it started falling apart and kind of went the direction of Bundy Ranch towards the end there. As it first started, Bundy Ranch was an awesome operation, but it kind of went to hell there before we got it done with. So there's several people talking about this. Excuse me. And all of a sudden they're griping. Oh, this is terrible. He can't trust anybody. What's going on in this country? Nobody less to trust. You know, I trust the people in our group only. On and on and on. And somebody said it's a sad thing. You can't put a front on, and you would never know, sad to say, I regret even helping them. Well, finally, and one of them said, it's just a waste of time. I said, in my opinion, I think everyone needs to quit griping about it and just move on. We learn from it, and we'll do things differently next time. What we're seeing is nearly 100% predictable and happens in nearly all groups where people are involved. People being the weak link here, people being the cause of these problems. I said there must be checks and balances of some kind, or it will always happen that way. Always has, always will. It happens in our military. It happens with the Red Cross. It happens with those idiots of the Wounded Warrior Project. We learn, we fix things, and we move on. Was it a waste what happened down there? Absolutely not. There were, during the time that it was running okay, there were illegals that were turned around and sent back across the border or turned over to Border Patrol that would not have been if the operation had never started. Yes, the plug should be pulled on it, and now. But it wasn't a waste. When you learn, it's not wasted. Guy come on there and said, sorry, it just really ticks me off. I said, it does me too. But we can't make it, we can't let it make us less productive by sitting around on Facebook and bitching about it. It's time to shake it off and move on. Every word we say and every word we type after a certain point becomes a win for them. Okay, now here's the part that made it worth my while. The guy that was saying a lot of this stuff said, well, you got me thinking now. Kind of make it work for the better in our favor. I'm going to make a list for our meeting tomorrow night. So whether anybody else thought anything about that or not, I don't know. But one guy is getting it. He's seeing the time that we're wasting, griping about something that we have absolutely zero control over. So, you know, that then my job here is done. I've put the information up there, and at least one person has seen the logic of it and is thinking about it. So, but I think what the problem is, and this is one of the things people ask about our group. You know, Stuart Rhodes said that my group was probably one of the most the most solid group or something like that that he's ever seen. Well, it's because we have a written batch of rules and regulations and bylaws that we go by. You will read those and sign a form saying that you read, understand, and accept what these things are. And this is what we do. If you don't like it, don't sign. And don't come back. I mean, that's that. There has to be checks and balances. If there's, if you just say, okay, well, there's, this is Bob here. Welcome to the meeting, Bob. Yep, you can be a captain on account of you're taller than everybody else, and you got some money, so we're going to call you Captain Bob. And Captain Bob said, you know, this is a wonderful thing for 2 or 3 weeks. And he says, I don't like the way this is going. We need to change this, that, and the other thing. Well, Captain Bob, you're the captain, so maybe we should do this the other way. Well, pretty soon, Major George comes up after a while and says, well, that's stupid. I'm just going to take my people and we're going to go start our own thing. So, yeah, there you just can't. People ask about structure of the militia. Should we have a rank system? Should we? Yes. If you want it to work, there has to be structure. It works fine as long as there's only five buddies that are sitting around drinking beer and watching the football game on Monday nights and talking about how terrible the government is and what they're going to do if they ever come to their door. But if you're going to get out and do anything and have it work, what happens if your main buddy gets sick or moves? Now who's in charge? Well, the rules and regulations should tell you all that. So it shouldn't be a big deal. Everything should continue on smoothly. We have a whole bunch of stuff written in our rules and regulations that do not apply right now because we just don't have the people to cover it. But I anticipate a tremendous influx of people at some point when everything starts falling apart. And then it will be covered. Then we'll have okay, this is a, let's dust off this section right here, because this is what applies when we get that too many people in that county and expect them to drive all the way over here for a meeting every week or whatever. Whatever the case may be, whether it has to do with geographical boundaries or you know unit boundaries, rank. We have, what do you call it, grievance procedures and all of that kind of stuff. Ranger, good night, buddy. We have grievance procedures. We have procedures for pretty much everything that you can think of. We have disciplinary procedures. We have PT standards, physical training standards. We have marksmanship standards. We have uniform standards. We have standards. And because of that, we have a pretty, now, it's still not the military. It's never going to be the military. We still have people leave for apparently no reason whatsoever. Okay, so you asked kind of a loaded question there. The PT standards that we use are very, very lax because it is a volunteer organization. We cannot force people to do the things that we did in the military. If we tried to enforce those kind of standards, we wouldn't have five people in the whole state. You need to understand that for the militia, that probably well over half of the people are 45, 50 years old and older. Of every age group, there's a certain amount of them that are quite a bit overweight. Now, what we do have, if you can't do these very, very, as I say, lax, if you can't even do the standard, because it is so easy, if you can't even do that, you've got 60 days to get it in gear where you can pass the PT test. If you can't, then you have two choices. You can move over to the auxiliary unit, which does not have PT standards. They're also not allowed to do certain things. They're also the ones that gathers firewood, sets up tent, and cooks dinner for everybody else, and drives truck to go meet them, and hauls water, and does that kind of stuff. Or you get out. That's it. The doc, that's good. That's okay. So I'll have to look and see. Using 40% of the Army. That sounds pretty reasonable. I don't have any idea if ours are close to that or not, but I'm going to check that out. That's a good idea. The only one we have that is reasonably has any degree of difficulty to it at all is the, I believe it's 25 and under group. And once you get over that, it starts getting lax, pretty soon. I shouldn't say lack. We also have, now you might be interested in this, we also have a kind of like a leadership development course. And if you want to go through that, if you want to achieve a goal of being a squad leader or platoon guide or something like that, then you're going to have to go through this and pass this in a certain amount of time. And what we do is we drop them off about, last time I believe it was 8 miles, just before dark. We give them a map and a compass and say, you need to be back in camp by a certain time in the morning. And they carry everything on them that they want to carry. They have to take a backpack with a little bit of stuff in it. They have to have water. And if they feel like they're going to need to eat during that 8-mile trip, they need to carry whatever they can carry. For that, they have to carry their weapon, and they have to carry their vest or gear, or whatever, their LBE, whatever they're carrying. And the what else? Oh, their loadout, their, you know, of ammo and stuff. So. Okay, so that's a good idea, and I am going to check into that. I like that. We're about to have a constitutional convention so to speak, here. We've had some issues come up here over the last over the last 2 months here that's made us want to look at a couple of our rules and stuff and fine tune just a little bit to prevent a little problem that we had. One thing that we hadn't really thought of too. Actually, the rules are pretty well cover it, but we're going to add something to that. It's going to be like an amendment to this. But anyway, this leadership development thing, it's 8 miles, and the thing is, we drop them off just before dark. They have to do it in the dark or at night, depending on what the moon is. It's pretty dark. They have to do it undetected. They have to do it alone. We drop them off several hundred yards apart, and they are to travel alone, not together. If they see one another, they are to avoid one another. They are not to be seen crossing the road or by a vehicle of any kind, and they're supposed to be back by a certain time in the morning. And out of that group, if they're applying for the same position, then the first one back, in most cases, depending on circumstances, will get that. But so last time we did this, the last two times, actually, we had, time before last, we had a full-blown, out-and-out, carved-in-stone, dyed-in-the-wool search and rescue operation for one guy out there. One guy just gave up before he ever started. He just didn't figure he could hack it right from the beginning. So that's fine, and that tells, that's good. I mean, we're not mad at him. That's what we want to find out. If he's not able to do it, then he's definitely not in a position to be a leader or a commander of any kind. Another guy said, "Oh yeah, I can do this. I got it. You know, with no problem." And it was, you know, getting him started was a trip. But anyway, we waited around until like 2:30 the next day, next afternoon, and said, all right, well, this guy got turned around, eaten by a bear, or fell down, broke a leg, or whatever. Couldn't get him on the radio. So off we go. Jeez. Trying to follow all through the direction that he was supposed to go. Well, that turned out to be useless because he was not a... He is not at one with his compass. So apparently the land nav classes and stuff went in one ear and out the other, and that was not a good thing. Come to find out, he was way in the hell off where he's supposed to be. We finally got him on the radio. And that's right, yeah. I finally got him on the radio, and it took some time even after that. It was very, very dim, very weak signal. Had no earthly idea where it was coming from. So we kept having to make circles until we finally got a decent signal. We was afraid his batteries were going to run out any time, and we wouldn't be able to find him. So I thought we was going to have to call the nasty guard in or something to help us find him. But eventually we finally did pick him up. The last time that we did this, it was last fall sometime, and this guy was a Marine, and his attitude was not such that I had much hope for him being any kind of a successful leader of any kind. He showed up one day. We had made him a temporary squad leader for a little while, and then he wanted to do the leadership development thing. We said, okay, well, if you want to continue in the position that you're in, that's what you're going to have to do anyway. So he takes off, and right when he started, it was pouring down rain. And the other guy that was with him, and rightfully so, said, you know what, I'm just going to save mine for another time. I mean pouring in sheets, pouring down rain. And going 6 or 8 miles in the dark with no, where there's no roads or anything, just cross country, I couldn't blame him. I couldn't fault him a bit for deciding not to go. Well, the other guy, he decided, well, hell, I can do this. I'm a Marine, and I'm going to get the commander off my ass and everything else. So he starts out. We didn't hear from him all night. The next morning, we hear from him down. He managed to walk out to the highway, done just exactly what we told him not to do. He walked out to the highway and couldn't figure out how to build himself a fire. He was a smoker too, and he walked out and used the phone. His cell phone batteries were dead. Walked out and used the phone at the store. Told us where he was at, and then he come back and started griping and doing a bunch of stuff. So anyway, we run him completely off. So he's a history unit now. Anyway, that's how we go about getting the. I think it creates a certain amount of cohesion and camaraderie with people, and I think the people that are appointed to leadership positions in our group are, at least up till now, have been respected, and people have been I'll use the word obedient, but they're, you know, well disciplined and doing what they're supposed to do. So, and I think that anybody that has a desire to create a group needs to have some type of standard similar to that will see what everybody's made of. And so the yeah, the tinker, he failed way, way badly. Anyway. Okay. Well, let's get off of that for a while. It's almost break time anyway. I got to dig up some, rearrange all the stuff here. I guess this is good enough for the time being.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop. Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men have never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Airshow Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the airshow loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen, try. Yeah.
rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? She and I go get and beat you with the understand who's in running command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Just Measure Radio Network.
Folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
I suppose everybody's seen that we're welcome back, by the way. Seen that we're at war again here with Congress was on a break and didn't give their approval, and we're out bombing the hell out of Syria. We'll see what becomes of that here in the next few days, I'm sure. Good night, Pumpkin Cat, if I haven't missed you already. But anyway, don't have much to say about that yet till we see what unfolds here. Anyway, there was a Amy's aunt, knowing our political stance and everything here, has sent a letter from a newspaper in California, and it's kind of long, but I'm going to read it to you, and I think y'all need to pay attention here. It's a great letter, and maybe you can take some notes and send some letters out. Like I said, this is one of those things that, like I was talking about a while ago, you never know what a letter to the editor might do. You never know that a phone call or a post on any type, on whether it's on the chat room here or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, what kind of effect it may have on somebody on down the line. And this is what I was trying to get across to everybody on this other deal. Don't give up. Don't get so negative. We have a negative, bunch of negative, so much negative stuff already. I'm negative when it comes to, you know, the way the state of the nation and everything. But I mean, as far as being negative about your actions and your, I'm negative about what's happening. I'm not negative about what I do or the things that I have to do sometimes over and over, and whether it means people that have quit the unit because they, for some stupid, sissy, childish reason, or whether it be people that have become untrustworthy on the border or whatever it is, I'll say my little piece about that, and then I'm done with it, because I'm not going to waste my time. The more negative I am, the more it makes other people look and say, well, hell, I don't want anything to do with that. Look at their own people are doing it. So don't do it. Don't play into their hand, for crying out loud, if you want to be part of the solution or part of the problem. So just vent your feelings there one time. Don't get too crazy about it and move on. Shut up about it already. You're just making things worse. I don't know how many times I've said it here, but you know that little thing that Pogo said, we have met the enemy and he is us. And that applies in so many areas. We make things worse for ourselves. So when the whole world sees us griping and carrying on about the way people have done and all that, then you think it makes people look and say, wow, I sure want to be a part of that group, and I can't wait to sign up. I want to go in there and be like them. We have to act like adults, folks. Responsible adults. With that comes a forgiving and tolerant attitude in some ways. Now, am I forgiving and tolerant of these people that have destroyed operations down on the border and things that happened towards the end of Bunny Ranch? No, I'm not. But I'm not going to get on I'm not going to get on these social media outlets and carry on and on about it. Just be done with it. Just move on. And the more mature that we act about it, the more likely people are to... Queso, buddy, you have no idea how right you are. Some of these people are living out fantasies. You are 100% correct. That is a fact. I'm not even so sure that they're striving to be professionals. They're just, I see that. That's what you're saying, yeah. And that's exactly it. And you know, that's some of the things that we talk about, and I think I talked about this quite a bit here a couple of weeks ago, and that is some of the training that we do. Some of these militia outfits, that's all they do, is dress up like Rambo and go and do military style stuff. And that's fine to a point, but that can't be all you do. Because you know what? When the balloon goes up, I'm going to say this again, I just said it a couple of weeks ago, but when the balloon goes up, you're not going to be in full battle rattle with an AK over your shoulder, with camouflage face paint on and hiding behind a tree. You're going to be at work. You're going to be at school. You're going to be in a motel because you're at a trade show somewhere. You're going to be at the theater. Whatever. So what you need to do, and what I have stressed to these people over and over, is some of the most important gear that you have is what you have on you right now. I don't mean Doc, who's sitting there in his underwear and a t-shirt in front of the computer monitor, but I mean those of us that are still dressed and ready to go. What do you have on you right now? Can you make it with what you've got? Do you have, it's dark for most of us in the United, well, all of us right now in the United States. You got a flashlight in your pocket? You got a knife? You wearing a sidearm? Got extra ammo? They've got a, what else have I got that would be considered gear? An ammo, knife, flashlight. Do what, Amy? Lighter. Yeah, a lighter, way to make a fire. You know, that's, all this stuff is stuff that we carry, 100% of the time. Amy does too. She's my wife. She's a woman. But she carries the stuff that she needs, and she has already proven how, being prepared can be literally a life-saving experience. And if she would have that day with the little episode back on Valentine's Day 2 years ago, if she hadn't have been prepared, she would have been seriously injured, if not possibly killed. But she was prepared for it and dealt with it, and we're glad of it. It was a great learning experience. I'm glad she didn't get hurt any worse than she did. But I think that she got hurt bad enough that it made a tremendous impression on her. Drumjaw, you're like me. Dead goat's the best kind. Yeah, yeah, I know. But anyway, that back to the militia thing. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. Your first line gear, so to speak, is your everyday carry. What you have on you, if you can make it to your vehicle, what do you have in your vehicle right now? Some people have nothing but a spare tire and a jack. Do you keep an extra moderately complete bug out bag in your trunk or your toolbox or your pickup or whatever? Love you, babe. Do you have extra water in there? Do you have extra ammo? Do you have, whatever. Gas mask, what do you have in your truck, in your car? So if you can make it to your car, you should probably be able to, you should probably be able to make it for a good while with what's in your vehicle. You got extra food in there. You got radio in there, means of communication. So, and queso, probably down in your neck of the woods, down where you're at, down where Doc is, where Drumjaw is, probably not a terribly bad idea to throw a mask in and keep it around. Probably not the most crucial thing, but it's a lot more likely where y'all are at than where I'm at that you would need something like that, barring CS and tear gas and mace and all that kind of stuff. But you guys are all in a position that would possibly be more likely to need those types of things than I am. But I still keep one in there. It is possible. Now, what would you need a mask for? Well, not only for chemical and biological issues that are, like I said, fairly unlikely, actually quite unlikely for me here in at home, but much more likely for those of you down in the up in the Pacific Northwest, down south, down in the far the East Coast, New England states, and out in there, I think it's more likely that you would need it than me. But I still have one. So again, what brought up this whole discussion is how we train in some of our exercises, and that is in civilian clothes. If you have your handgun in a drop leg snapped tactical style holster with your gear, that's not going to mean that you are it's hard to practice with it in that configuration to be proficient with it in a business suit or in your shorts and a t-shirt, whatever you wear while you're doing whatever you do from day to day. So the Hopper, that's good. Survival tabs, MREs, Mountain House dinners, that's a good deal. So the Phobos holsters are they used to be probably one of the better choices out there. I don't really think they are anymore. There's so much better ones out there, but the Phobos holster still is a definitely a viable option compared to some of the other ones. They're There's the only thing that I would like to see them do that I can't not stand about Phobos holsters is that forward angle, that FBI angle on it. I hate that. But if it weren't for that, I would strongly recommend them for everybody. But there's some other ones out there that are the same price, that are vertical, and it's not a bad choice. As a matter of fact, I just gave a friend of mine one of those here Friday. And for what he had and his purposes, it's a great choice. So anyway, well, I think that's all we need to. He was talking about training and whatnot. I think that's all. I was going to read a letter to you here a while ago. I think I may just have enough time to get it here before the bottom of the hour. Like I said, it's kind of long, but it's a great letter. So, all right, pay attention. Here we go. This was written by, it's a letter to the editor in a paper in California by, I guess they put it in a paper in California. I guess they don't mind if their names are out there. Billy and Karen Vaughn. He says, after finally choosing to view the barbaric on-camera beheading by ISIS of freelance war correspondent James Foley, we have been left with a level of rage known only to those of us who have sacrificed unspeakable offerings on the altar of world peace. Our offering was our only son, Aaron Vaughn. Aaron was a member of SEAL Team 6. He was killed in action when a CH-47D Chinook carrying 30 Americans and 8 Afghans was shot down in Afghanistan in 2011. Many times over the past 3 years, we've been asked what drove our son to choose this particular career. What made him want to be a Navy SEAL? The answer is simple. You guys should be able to relate to this. Aaron Vaughn was a man who possessed the courage to acknowledge evil, and evil, once truly acknowledged, demands response. Perhaps this is why so few are willing to look it in the eye. It is much simpler, much safer, to just look the other way. That is, unless you are the leader of the free world. As Commander-in-Chief, your actions, or lack thereof, Mr. President, cost lives. As you bumble about in your golf cart, slapping on the happy face and fist-bumping with your buddies, your cowardly lack of leadership left a gaping hole, not only in America's security, but the security of the entire globe. Your message has come across loud and clear, sir. You are not up to this job. You know it, we know it, the world knows it. Please vacate the people's house and allow a man or woman of courage and substance to seize the reins of this out-of-control thug-fest and regain the balance we, America, have provided throughout our great history. Thanks to your leadership, from whatever multi-million dollar vacation you happen to be on at any given moment, the world is in chaos. What's been gained, you've lost. What's been lost, you've decimated. You've demolished our ability to hold the trust of allies. You've made a mockery of the title president, and you've betrayed the nation for which our son and over 1.3 million others have sacrificed their lives for. But this should come as no surprise, since your wife uttered a vile statement on February 18, 2008, during the presidential primary campaign, one that speaks volumes of your true convictions. She said, "For the first time in my adult life, I am really proud of my country." We're sure our deceased son thanks you for that, Mrs. Obama. Oh, and you're welcome. Never have we witnessed such despair and such growing fear that the world's last best hope, America, has been dismantled. Perhaps the better word is transformed, fundamentally transformed. Come to think of it, it's become difficult, if not impossible, to believe things haven't gone exactly as you planned, Mr. President. Amazingly, in 5 short years, your administration has lurched from one disaster to another. You spearheaded the ambitious rush to end the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan, with no plan on how to do so effectively. Also, the release of the Taliban 5 in exchange for one American without consulting Congress is also on your shoulders. You have been at the helm during unprecedented national security leaks, including but not limited to the outing of SEAL Team 6 on the bin Laden raid, the outing of the Pakistani doctor who provided the intelligence for that raid, and the outing of Afghanistan's CIA station chief, and the outing of your personal kill list to make you look tough. In addition, 75% of American deaths in Afghanistan and 83% of Americans wounded in action have occurred on your watch, according to iCasualties.org. And now we have this recent heinous event, the beheading of an American citizen by a barbaric organization you foolishly referred to as the Junior Varsity Team in your statements to the New Yorker magazine in January. You, sir, are the Junior Varsity Team. It's time for you to step down and allow a true leader to restore our honor and protect our sons and daughters. America has always been exceptional, and she will be again. You, Mr. President, are a bump in our road. So I think that was an awesome letter, especially coming out of Southern California. And it not to say that there are not true patriots in Southern California. It's just that I'm a little surprised that they would have printed that in the paper down there. And I imagine it pissed a whole bunch of folks off, I'm guessing. But I think these people are, I wish I had their address. I'd like to write them a letter. I saw a letter here, and I think I told y'all about it. I'm not sure. What was it? Something here 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw a letter or a Facebook post or something that somebody had put up. And I went to the trouble to do quite a bit of research and even looked through all kinds of records and newspaper articles and stuff to try to find out where this guy... And I finally found the... finally found the guy's phone number and gave him a call. Of course, he was out early, or he didn't answer. Maybe didn't recognize the number and didn't answer. But nevertheless, I just felt strongly compelled to call him and tell him, you know, to high-five him over the phone and tell him that he's done a wonderful thing, that he was a great patriot, and I appreciate what he had done. And I wish all of you would do things like that, and some of you might. But I think that when we should give credit where credit is due, that we should spend as much time. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the first part of the show there. If we spent as much time praising these people that that do good stuff instead of spending all of our time bitching about the people that do bad stuff, you know, some of this would catch on after a while, you know, and other people would maybe see the light, see the benefits of going that direction. So think about that when you see a and I call the bad ones too. Matter of fact, I've called a couple of them on the air, and I forgot who there was. Two of them that I've called on the air. One of them was Federal Cartridge Company, and I about their some of their mislabeling of some ammunition for sales purposes. And I forgot who the other one was. It was a school or something. It was a school, I believe. About 6 months ago, since we've been in this part of Arizona. But anyway, Queso, there, that's a given, buddy. America will not be restored without a fight. I mean a real fight. I don't mean let's go out and get everybody to sign petitions. I mean I just don't see it happening without getting pretty serious. I agree with just about everything Mike Vanderbo says. For those of you that don't know who Mike Vanderbo is, he is a tremendous patriot. I've talked to Mike numerous times, had him on the show a couple of times, and he's written some great articles about that. He's also the guy that coined the term the three percenters and still got that movement started. And I go to Sipsey Street Irregulars. Look up Sipsey Street Irregulars. Sipsey, S-I-P-S-E-Y. Sipsey Street Irregulars. And you'll find some good Mike Vanderbo stuff there. Queso just posted one of the things he was talking about, a rally. That may be the rally that was in... there you go. Queso just put the address for you up there. Go check it out. Good stuff. All right. Well, we're going to take one more break, and I think I'm going to... Yeah, that was... okay, so that was also the one that Bob Wright and Bob Mitzel went to down there when Mike spoke at that rally. I'm very, very, very familiar with what they did down there. All right, let's see. This, yeah, this looks good enough. I'm going to throw that in there and give me two or three extra minutes here. And then I'll be back.
I just hate stupid people.
Never down, just ignore the county line. I've had enough of this old town, leaving it behind.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it.
Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
The lights and the harbor.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Well, it's two eggs up on whiskey toast, home fries on the side. Wash it down with the roadhouse coffee, burns up your inside. It's just a Canyon dollar at a diner, and a waitress I did love. I sat in the back beneath an old stuffed bear and a worn-out Navajo rug. Now old Jack, the boss, he left at six.
Welcome back to the shooting bench.
Well, you didn't get dressed up for nothing.
All right, we're back. I'm sorry I punched the wrong button there. We were just playing the songs. It would have been like a 30-minute break, and I'd have come back just in time to sign off for the night. But anyway, I caught it in time. So, Queso, I'm not. I've heard of them. Yes, they're legitimate, but I don't know. That's all I know about them. I can't give you any more information than that. But. I have some other thing. I'm on the wrong cotton picking deal here. Let me switch back over. I'm still back over. I had the, all the rest of the arguments going on. Shoot, I can't find it. There we go. All right.
Now, over in Missouri and Alabama, now, I don't know, I guess for some reason I am not real up to snuff on why this is. Why is it that the government seems to have, the federal government seems to be able to dictate what schools can and can't serve? And people have been sending in pictures and Facebook posts and Twitter things about how awful their lunch is that is, I guess, federally mandated. But anyway, Missouri and Alabama are two of them that are telling her to go take a flying leap at a rolling donut on a pebbly beach. These federal regulations here have become a tremendous headache for these people. Lots and lots of wasted food that you know, kids don't like it. They're getting by without it and going to other sources and throwing away half of what they get. But I guess Missouri's Notre Dame Regional and what is this, Saxony Lutheran High Schools, and there's let's see, there was another one here. Anyway, they're saying these schools, and they say quite a few others across the country, are ditching the federal regulations. And along with that comes the ditching of the funding that goes along with it. So what this means is if you want funding for your school, you'll serve what I tell you to. And these schools are saying, well, then we don't want your funding because your lunch program sucks. So do you. So I think this is a very good thing. I hope this catches on. I'd like to see every school in the country do this. I thought that was very good of these people. Saxony Lutheran is also offering Chick-fil-A for lunch on Tuesdays and breakfast on Fridays. How awesome is that? As well as chicken wings on Thursdays. By discarding the federal regulations, the district can now offer chips, snack crackers, protein bars, muffins, cereal, and Pop-Tarts, many of which were banned until this year. That's, you know, some of the things that, I think we did a story here not too long ago about a lunch that was thrown away because someone was eating things that were not, I guess the teacher, the lunchroom monitor or whatever she was, thought that they were in danger of losing their funding for this kid eating something that they brought from home. I don't know what the reason for it was, but it was infuriating, whatever it was. So anyway, I know this whole thing, talking about being negative a while ago. Well, I've got plenty of negative for you here. We got negative by the dozens here. Let's see. This is one of those ones that I love to see it when a plan comes together, you know. And this is about a combat vet here. I'll stop it. Remember what Wayne LaPierre says? The only thing that stops a good guy or a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, the district attorney here in, where was this? Anyway, he said the 23-year-old guy here had every right to defend others when he shot and killed a 60-year-old intruder. The intruder went to his estranged wife's home to confront the boyfriend. Police said he fired several rounds in front of the house and yelled for the boyfriend to come outside. He was armed with a shotgun and two handguns when he broke into the home and fired into the bathroom door, wounding the boyfriend as he tried to take shelter with his girlfriend. All right, time out. Stop. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I can't help it. I can't. Do you I'm in my home, and you're going to come in from outside with a shotgun and shoot, and I'm going to hide in the bathroom and wait. There is something very, very wrong with this story. As soon as this guy busted, now, so what's this? What's this? This man and this woman now, this couple, are they now worse anti-gun than they were, or were they I don't care before, or were they? Are they going to become proponents of Second Amendment rights now, or what are they doing? Unbelievable. So, anyway, this guy, they were hiding in the bathroom. The guy was just come in and started shooting through the door. And the woman's nephew run out the back door. He found a place when he was able to get out when the shooting started, and went and got his own gun and come back and shot this guy. He disarmed him. How do you disarm somebody that's dead? But anyway. And waited for police at a neighbor's house. Authorities say he's a combat veteran with a Purple Heart. No criminal record. He says the actions, quite frankly, saved the lives of the individuals that were holed up in the bathroom. Anyway. So it said, and this is just a little commentary at the end of the story. He said if this guy had not had access to the firearms, it's quite likely that Taylor would have soon defeated the flimsy interior door of the bathroom and killed both the estranged wife and the boyfriend. In all likelihood, is it anything like normally, he would have then committed suicide and would have gotten off easy. But law enforcement officers immediately do everything in their power to get to the scene of shots fired. The fact of the matter is that it's very unlikely that they'll be nearby when you need them. When seconds count, cops are only minutes away. Isn't that how the story goes? All right, let me see if I got. Let me see if I can check right here real quick. Oh, great. All right, let's do this differently. No, let's don't. I can do that. I'm getting good at this. Just about out of time. While this is waiting to materialize here. Those of you that are in, near, or close to, or want to be in California on the 18th and 19th of October, be sure and join us for our Glock Armors class and our disaster preparedness seminar over there. The Glock Armors class is beginning to fill, and we'd like to see some of you all over there. Now, this is preaching to the choir. You know, I know, I understand. But we've got people in New, hey, good night, Blondie. I'll be in there in a minute. We have people in England, in the United Kingdom, that are lamenting the fact that they are disarmed with all the threats and everything that they're receiving from ISIS and other Muslim factions there. And you know what? Some of those people are good folks over there. But I'm going to have to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, and I hate to, this is very, very cruel of me to say this maybe, but they deserve everything they get. In 1944, they had been disarmed previously, allowed themselves to be disarmed previously. And in 1994, they accepted something like 1 million guns donated by NRA members from the United States so that they could fight the German war machine there. Now they have allowed themselves to be disarmed again, and they have another threat coming. Do you think I'm going to send them one of my guns after what they allowed? I'm going to send it over there. They're going to fight them off, and then they're going to then they're going to let them let my gun be taken away and run over by a steamroller or melted down or whatever. No. Actually, I have no intention of sending them anything. They have brought this on themselves, and I hate it. I hate it with for all I'm worth. That good, innocent people are quite likely going to be killed, injured at the very least. But why in the hell can't people over here see what's going on over there? Why do we still have people here that either don't care or are actively trying to take guns away from us, knowing and seeing what has happened? Well, I know what it is, because they don't know their history. They don't look and see what's been going on. The Australians now are wishing. Now, you guys, I know you followed the. I'm going to put a picture in the chat room here. This picture makes me sick to my stomach. I'm going to put this in there for you. But the ISIS now is absolutely the best advertisement for Second Amendment rights. And this guy from Australia says, "Never before have I felt so naked. Now more than ever, I wish I was armed. And I'm not alone. Any and all homegrown Islamic terrorism should be able, if need be, to be met with a well-armed civilian militia. The United Kingdom has had two beheadings of members of the public in the last 2 years, with neither police nor civilians able to prevent it. It has prohibitive gun laws. With the news of ISIS plot randomly abduct members of the Australian public and behead them, Australian sentiment on guns is dramatically shifting. Too little too late, as far as I'm concerned. It appears Australians are finally understanding the importance of gun ownership and craving it at a time when the world is increasingly unsafe. Then I'll tell you this point blank. I'd feel safer in a country where I was legally allowed to carry a firearm." Well, I guess can't blame him for that. I'm going to put this picture in here. Let's see if this is going to... this ought to post. Look at that picture. That is from Australia. These are big metal bins. I remember when they did all this. It just was so unbelievably sickening and frustrating to me to watch this happen, where they showed piles of guns, some of them expensive, good quality, well-built, brand-name hunting rifles and fine shotguns laying in the middle of a cobblestone street and being run over by a roller. I was going to say a steam roller. It's not a steam roller. It's just a vibratory roller. And now they're deciding that they need their guns. I'm going to tell you something, Spud. You should have pondered on this long and hard when they told you to turn all your guns in to start with. I hope to God that America doesn't have the same regrets later on down the road. Oh, I wish I hadn't turned all my guns into the government. No, okay, so hell no, they're not going to give them back. They don't have them to give back. They've destroyed the overwhelming majority of them. Of course, there'll be some of the hierarchy there that kept some of the nice ones. Oh, wait, don't run over that one. Let me grab that, and this one. I'm going to take it to the house. but that's all that's going to be left. You know, they didn't have the decency to say, to even auction them off to other countries or to what, I don't know what they'd, you know, worst case, they could have sold them all to help with the national debt. But they elected to spend more money and spend more money and destroy them. I don't know. This whole thing just pisses me off till I can't stand by. Well, I'm gonna get on out of here. I think this is starting to tick me off. It's getting pretty close to quitting time anyway. I'm glad you guys sat through here with me. I know it's late out on the East Coast. If I change anything in the future, I may try to. I'd like to try to do it earlier. I just don't know how I would do that. But so we can have. I know that it's 1 o'clock in the morning out on the East Coast, and I appreciate the hell out of those of you that are the Central and Eastern time zone that stay up with me this late. So I think I'm going to get on out of here, and I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm not sure what my schedule will be exactly tomorrow. At the very least, I will be 20-30 minutes late. I have my Boy Scouts to teach tomorrow, and I'm not going to cut them short to make it here on time. So Wednesdays is always a dilemma for me. So with that being said, we'll see you tomorrow, and I appreciate you guys joining me tonight.
I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day.
Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Match, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's